four Bible verses every time, right? So, it's going to take, I think, 20 some odd weeks before we finish it. Do you know how many Bible verses we have in the sixth chapter? 22 in the first chapter. 23 in the first chapter, and then 20.
10 in the second.
How many in the second chapter?
10. No, wait.
22. So that is 45. And then what about the third chapter? 21. And then fourth chapter?
First chapter.
32. 32 in the fourth chapter. So which is 53? 53 plus 45. It's 98. And what about in the fifth chapter?
33.
Yeah. And then sixth chapter?
24.
So 57 plus 98. So total is 155 chapters. 155 verses. So the last week I say we only do four words. If it's four, it's going to be close to 39 weeks. If we do five, is 21 weeks. I know you guys are studying and you studying at high school is very busy. Is it too much? Five Bible verses every week? Is it too much? It's not too much, eh? So why don't we do five then?
It's on you, Hannah.
Huh?
Make sure you ask Hannah.
Okay.
She nodded.
She nodded, okay. Well, Joyce is writing the exam now for the thermodynamic of fluid mechanics. She's writing exam at 6:30 at university. But she told me she memorized it already. Well, why don't we do five Bible verses tonight? But so we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I give thanks for all those children of you, to come before you. We come before you with a humble heart. We want to learn your word. More importantly, we want to know your will. Know what pleases you. And I pray that you're going to fill each and every one of us, not only with your word, but also with your Holy Spirit, so that we not only be able to understand what your will is, and we have the ability, strength, and power to do it and put it into practice and apply what we learn here in our own lives, so that we get blessing from you all the days of our lives. And I pray that for those people who are faithful in memorizing your word as they come before you and cry out to you in prayer, and I pray that you answer their prayer in a speedy manner. Deliver them out of all harm and give them wisdom and understanding in carrying out your will in their own life, so that not only they get the blessing And their children after them, we get the blessing too. When they are in need and when they cry out to you, I pray that you answer them. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Among all the apostles, Paul is one of my heroes. Every time when I look at Paul's life and how he was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I see the grace of God. Because Paul is the one that, before his name was called Paul, he was called Saul. S-A-U. It's the same name as the first king of Israel that was anointed by Samuel. And later on, Paul's name was changed. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, his name was changed from Saul to become Paul. Saul is the person who persecuted the church. Saul is the one who persecuted the church. Persecuted anyone who cried out to God in Jesus' name. Paul is the one who despised Jesus Christ, for he doesn't know Jesus at that time. He is ignorant. But when he sees Jesus Christ face to face in the Damascus, in the chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and he was blinded, Lord changed his life. And once his life was changed, and the Lord used him greatly as a noble instrument of God, so as to proclaim the mystery of God's will, to proclaim the message of truth, the salvation, the gospel of your salvation. And Paul is very zealous in proclaiming the gospel to those who doesn't know Jesus Christ, because he knows what it is like when you do not know Jesus. You were blind and you walk in the dark. You walk in the darkness. And he didn't want us to be like that. So that's why he's fervent and he's eager, earnest in preaching the gospel. And at the very beginning, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians and the book of Philippians, these are the three books that was written by Paul while he was in prison. Okay? That's why a lot of people call these three books Ephesians, Philippians. Bless you. Wow, you know, when you sneeze, you know, you so loud, but I wish that you, when you speak that loud too, okay? Now you can do better than that, okay? Wesley. Oh, yeah. Bless you. So you say amen, you agree? You agree. I want you to speak it out. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. And there are three epistles. There are three letters that were written by Paul while he was locked up in prison. And the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philippians. And these are the very precious books that were written by Paul while he was in prison. And verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I would like you to write down, circle the word, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Because later on, when the apostle John write the book of Revelation, when the Apostle John write the books of Revelation, he write to seven churches in Asia Minor. In Asia Minor, Asia, where is Asia Minor now? Is in Turkey. Okay, in Turkey. When the Apostle John write to the first church in Asia Minor, in Revelation chapter 2, the first church in Asia Minor is the church of Ephesus. It's the same church that Paul write a letter to Ephesians. Okay? It's the same church. And only after around 20-30 years later, after Paul written the book of Ephesians, and here come false apostle. Will you please turn to Revelation chapter 2, and let me read that to you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel, you can either translate angel or messenger. To the messenger of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. In other words, who has ever been to the church of Ephesus? Paul is the one who established the church of Ephesus. Because Paul preached the gospel, Paul spent 3.5 years in Ephesus. Where does it say? Would you please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20? Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 31. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Paul has spent 3 years of his life in the church of Ephesus. He established the church. He led people to Christ. And he baptized them. And he shared the gospel to them. So all those people in Asia Minor heard about the gospel because of the Apostle Paul. And who else has ever been to the to be a pastor there? Apostle Paul was the pastor, and later on, Timothy was the pastor too. But when Timothy was the pastor in the church of Ephesus, Timothy faced persecution. And he was timid, he's scared, he said, "That is it, I'm not going to be a pastor." He walked away. So Paul write him 2 letters, 1 Timothy, encouraged him to come back. He didn't come back. 2 Timothy, he come back. Once Timothy come back, he got locked up into prison because he faced persecution. And later on, in the last book, in the last chapter, 13th chapter of the book of Hebrew, he was released from prison. Anyone who served in the church of Ephesus will face persecution, because in that place used to be idol worshiper. A lot of people, they are very violent, okay? And 20-30 years later, after Paul was a pastor there, he left. And then Timothy was there. And later on, and right after, right after or I should say right before Apostle John was sent to the exile, Apostle Paul was also the pastor in the church of Ephesus. Anyone who be a pastor over there will face persecution. Apostle Apollos, he was also a pastor there. He preaching pastor there. And when the good pastor gone, the false apostle come. Okay? So you write down, right beside, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Some apostle, they claim themselves to be apostle. In chapter 2 of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2, they claim themselves to be apostle, but they are not. And the people hear the good news from Paul, from Timothy, from John. They know what is true. They can distinguish the good and the bad, and they find them false apostle. Paul is the true apostle, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Before he persecuted Jesus Christ, he denied Jesus is the Christ. And later on, he see Jesus face to face in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And he acknowledged Jesus is the Christ. And he preached about that. You write that down right beside Christ Jesus, an apostle of Christ Jesus. You write down Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. You write down like that, an equal sign. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 is false apostle. But this one, Paul, is a true apostle. At first, Paul persecuted the church, persecuted all those people who acknowledge Jesus is the Christ. But now, Paul claimed himself to be apostle of Christ Jesus. He was sent by Jesus Christ to proclaim the gospel. And he is an apostle, not by human will. He wasn't chosen to be apostle by human being, not chosen by Peter, not chosen by John, not chosen by James. He was chosen by God to be apostle. Some people claim themselves to be apostle, but they are not. In Revelation 2:2, right? But Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. And then he write this letter to who? To the saint in Ephesus. Who are the saint? The faithful one, the faithful in Christ Jesus. I want you to write an equal sign. The saint, what does he mean by the saint? The saint is the faithful one in Christ Jesus. Some people claim themselves to be faithful in man's sight, not necessarily faithful. But those people who are faithful in Christ Jesus is called the saint. So in other words, I write that down, qualification. I write that down right beside verse 1. I write down qualification. This letter, not written to all the believer. No. This letter was written to the saint. Written to the faithful one. Because within this letter, a lot of spiritual blessing. Not everyone get it. Only those who are faithful. Only those who call to be saint in the church. Okay? These are the qualification. And then in verse 2, Paul say, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? This is not a greeting. A lot of people say this is a greeting. No, I don't see it as a greeting. I see it, you know, some people write things, you know, They greet you. They say grace and peace to you. No, that is not what is in Paul's mind. When you become the saint, when you become the faithful one, you write that down. He write the same letter. He talk about the same thing to his pastor. Who is his pastor? Timothy is his pastor. When he write to 2 Timothy, so you write that down right beside the saint or the faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You write that down right beside to the saint. This letter was written to the saint in Ephesus and also written to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You write beside that, you write down 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That's what Paul is saying to his pastor. In fact, actually, this is a fact of life. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When you are persecuted because you are saint, when you are persecuted because you are the faithful one, what do you need most? You need grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You not only need grace and peace from God our Father, you need grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Do you understand? So verse 2 is not a greeting. Verse 2 is encouragement. It's a promise. It's a promise to those who live a godly life. It's a promise to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. When you are faithful in Christ Jesus, Donald, what do you face? You face persecution. When you face persecution, you are very easy to be discouraged. So what do you need? You need more grace, right? You need grace from the Heavenly Father. You need grace from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need peace from Him. I'll give you one illustration, okay? You also write that down. Okay, would you please read that to me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Donald? Okay, so that's why in verse 2, the Bible says grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brother and sister, I show you how to write a letter to your brother in Christ or sister in Christ. When they face suffering and persecution, what do you write? You write verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? It's a blessing. Is a promise from our Lord God Almighty. You understand? Do you understand? I'll give you one illustration. You turn to Book of Acts, chapter 18. What happened when Paul himself faced persecution and he's just about to throw his towel and say, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. He wanted to walk away from the church of Corinth. And lo and behold, that night, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, stay put, don't move away, don't go away, don't give up, man. Let me read that to you. Book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila and a native a native of Pontus, who has recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius has ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogue. At that time, the church hasn't been established yet, so he's preaching in the synagogue every Saturday, trying to persuade Jews and Greek, those who worship inside the synagogue. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Take a look. Paul called himself an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now he devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Before he was a believer, his name was called Saul. He persecuted all those people who claimed Jesus the Christ. Now he exclusively devoted himself exclusively to preaching that Jesus is the Christ and testifying that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and become abusive, Paul shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentile." Then Paul left the synagogue. So what kind of synagogue is that? You write that down. Right beside. Verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue. This synagogue is the synagogue of Satan. Write that down. 2:9 and 3:9 in Revelation. Hannah, could you read 2:9? And Joshua, could you read 3:9 of Revelation?
I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
They are a synagogue of Satan. They deny Jesus is the Christ. They are a synagogue of Satan because they deny Jesus is the Christ. 3:9, Revelation.
I will make those who are of the synagogue. On your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you.
So I would like to warn you. You know, sometimes, you know, especially you are a Gentile believer, you have the curiosity, you have the tendency, you say, "Wow, I want to go to synagogue to see what kind of a preacher, you know, the rabbi is, and I just want to hear what are they preaching." Okay? According to biblical teaching, according to Jesus' teaching, Jesus said, this kind of synagogue who deny Jesus is the Christ are synagogue of Satan. Who write that down? Apostle John write that down. I want to prove that to you. In 1 John chapter 2, what did Apostle John say? I want you to write all this down because it's good for you so that you can learn it well. First John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. Verse 21. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He's a liar. Satan is a liar, Antichrist a liar. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. In the Jewish synagogue in those days, they deny Jesus is the Christ. They are Antichrist. They deny the Father and the Son. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. If you deny Jesus Christ is, if you deny Jesus Christ the Son of God, then you do not have the Heavenly Father. You do not know God the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Okay? You write that down. Go back to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 7. The reason why Paul left the synagogue, because those believers inside the synagogue persecute Paul. They deny Jesus is the Christ. Verse 5, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. Preaching to the Jews and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 6, but the Jews opposed Paul's teaching and became abusive. And Paul said, enough is enough. He walked away. Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the ruler synagogue, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinth, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul's teaching and believed and were baptized. Verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you. No one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. The reason why I say in verse 2 is not a greeting. In verse 2 is an encouragement, is a blessing, is a promise from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul himself experienced that kind of blessing. You write that down in Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to where? Especially 1 to 11. Okay? You write beside the verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was discouraged, he loved his own Jewish people, he loved his own kinsmen, and yet they persecute him. So he wanted to leave that place, but Jesus appeared to him and showed him grace and gave him peace, right? Right? He tell him, take heart, do not be discouraged. Do not remain silent, keep on preaching. No one can harm you, right? Children, do you understand what I'm trying to say now? If you want to live a godly life, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When you are persecuted, we will be like Paul, we will be discouraged, right? We want to walk away, right? And then on that night, Jesus Christ appeared to you in a vision and saying to you, don't move, stay put, keep preaching, and I will be with you, right? When I'm with you, I give you grace, I give you peace. So Paul stayed there for how long? 18 months, 1.5 years, right? When we face persecution and suffering, what do we need? Grace and peace. Right beside here, write the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrew 13, verse 8 to 9. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. How Jesus Christ blessed Paul in those days, 2,000 years ago. And if you follow the footstep of Paul, he will bless you too, because Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. You write down Hebrews chapter 13, 8 and 9. Do not be carried away in verse 9 by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our heart to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial food, which are of no value to those who eat them. 2,000 years ago, and how our Lord Jesus Christ gave grace to Paul and strengthened his faith when he was so discouraged, disheartened, he wanted to walk away from the church of Corinth, from the synagogue of Corinth. And then, what kind of synagogue did I say? Synagogue of Satan. So that's why. And Paul left the synagogue and established a church in Jesus Christ. Okay? So those people who left the synagogue of Satan and established the church of Ephesus, established the church of Corinth, okay? Established the church of Colossae. Okay? Can anyone tell me how Paul established his church? He go to the synagogue and he preached the gospel, telling them Jesus is the Christ. Some believe, some don't believe. Those who don't believe oppose God and become abusive, persecute him, right? And those who believe Paul's teaching and follow after Paul and establish a new church. How the Apostle Church, Apostolic Church of Alberta established. Same thing. I go to the synagogue of Satan. I preach the gospel. Some believe. And then they left the church. And we established a new church. You see that? Do you see that? Okay, so you write that down, right beside verse 2, you write down Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday and today and forever. And how Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and strengthened his faith by his grace and by his peace. And he will do the same to you. If you are faithful in serving Christ, if you are the same in your church, the Lord will bless you too when you face persecution, when you face suffering. Do you get that? David, do you understand? Tell me, what do you understand? Oh, you don't understand that much. Wow. Well, okay. Later on, you understand it. So, what about Michael? Do you understand? Same thing? Yeah, same things, don't understand much, or you understand a lot more? What's the answer? When you're playing, you don't whisper like that. You speak very loud, you know? Daniel, do you understand? What do you understand? It's just grace and peace to you. Is that a greeting?
It's an encouragement.
It's encouragement. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. How do I know it's a promise from God? Because Paul himself experienced grace and peace to him while he faced persecution, while he's being faithful to God, while he being the same in the church. You understand? Right? Daniel, do you understand, Daniel? Okay. David don't understand much, but later on you will understand when you become older. older. Okay? Now, verse 3. Paul begins writing the codification. Who will get grace, who will get peace to you, is the one who are the saint and who are the faithful one in the church. And then Paul begins with praising God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word in verse 2 and verse 3. How did Paul describe God? In verse 2, he described God as our Father. And then in verse 3, he described God as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ and his children have the same Father. Okay? The same, the faithful one, have the same Father in heaven as Jesus Christ. And in verse 3, Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would Paul praise God the Father? Because God the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Some people say to me, wow, if God blessed us in the heavenly realm, what about, how come God did not bless us in the earthly realm? Will you ask me the same kind of question, Hannah? I want you to write it down in the heavenly realm, and you circle that. You write down Romans 8:32. If God bless us in the heavenly realm, for sure he will bless you in the earthly realm. You understand? Donald, would you please help me and read that? Romans 8:32. I want you to circle the word, his own son, and circle the word, all things. He who did not spare his own son, but gave his own son up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, if God the Father bless us in the heavenly realm, for sure he will bless us in the earthly realm. Right? If his most precious gift is his own son, if he give us his own son, how much more will he give us everything, all things, along with his own son? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Not really. So Paul is comparing all things with his son Jesus Christ. Which is more precious? His own son is more precious. You try to ask your mom. You know, if you ask your mom, if are you willing to lose me or you willing to lose $1,000? He said $1,000 is nothing.
$1,000,000 too.
You know. Wow, see, so how precious it is. It's how precious it is in the sight of God. His own son, Jesus Christ, is very precious in God's sight. And yet, he gave himself up for us all. How much more will he not give us all things along with Jesus Christ? Okay? So in other words, when Paul praised God, say, praise be to the God and the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let me tell you one thing. God has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You circle the word in Christ. If you are excluded from Christ, if you are separated from Christ, as what is happening in chapter 2, verse 12, before you were a believer, you were separated from Christ. You were excluded from Christ. But now, you believe in Jesus Christ. In verse 13, and now you were included in Christ. You know what? In the Chinese one, you don't see that. In the Chinese one, the translation is "基人信耶." So no, that's not what it means. "基人信基督." That's not what the Bible says. You were included in Christ. The NIV translation is a lot better than the Chinese one. In verse 13. Okay? Do you see what I see? I will talk about that when we get there. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. With every spiritual blessing, that means with all spiritual blessing. With everything. That's why Paul, praising God. I want you to, you know, make sure you remember that. God has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. It's in Christ. If you're not in Christ, first of all, you do not know that He gives you all this kind of blessing. And secondly, you can never experience this kind of blessing. You have to be in Christ. When you are in Christ, I want you to circle the word. When you are in Christ, that means you are the same. When you are in Christ, you are the faithful one. You want to be faithful, you have to be in Christ. If you are not in Christ, you cannot be faithful. Anyone knows about what he means by in Christ? You circle the word in Christ and write down Psalm 90, verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 4. Lord, You are our dwelling place from everlasting to everlasting. Turn to Psalm chapter 90, verse 1. Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. That is Paul's teaching. When Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he realized our Lord Jesus Christ is our dwelling place throughout all generation. Because when we dwell inside our Lord Jesus Christ, we will get all kind of blessing. Psalm 27 verse 4. That is the prayer of David. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. the house of the Lord, Jesus Christ called himself the temple of God, the house of God. One thing I ask of the Lord, David said, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That means I may dwell in Christ Jesus all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David is the one I honor very much. Moses is also a godly servant. And both of them saying that, live in Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing. Because in Jesus Christ, you receive all kind of blessing. You become the saint. You become the faithful one. From unfaithful to become a faithful. From the wicked, sinner, transgressor to become the saint. What a difference does it make to live inside and to live outside of Christ? When we were included in Christ, you get all kind of blessing. If you are outside Christ, you get none. Praise be to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has blessed us so much. That's why we praise him. Am I right? Unfortunately, a lot of us, they don't know. The reason why they don't know, they don't read the scripture. But Pastor John, I read the scripture. I still don't know. Because you don't memorize it when you read it. You got to read it so many times. Then it dawned on you. God has blessed us in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly place, in the heavenly realms. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If Paul has to write it down, it's not enough books within the world to record all the spiritual blessing. You understand? And you can imagine that. Put that precious promise within your heart. And all of a sudden, you'll be so happy to give thanks to God. Am I right? I want to stop here with three verses. I just want you to memorize three Bible verses. But I mentioned all the other Acts, Hebrew, Roman, 2 Timothy, right? Revelation. You write that down. You study it. You don't need to memorize it. But later on, if you keep studying. Any question? Any question? No? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that every time when we gather together in your name, we ask that you be in our midst. Help us to remember what you have taught us and help us to remain living in Christ. For in Christ, we receive every spiritual blessing from our Heavenly Father. For he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. If he blesses us in the heavenly realms, for sure, he will also bless us in the earthly realm. And I pray that you continue to give us grace and peace so that we remain faithful and to be the same, to serve you faithfully. Lord, how you call Paul to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and I pray that you call us saint and the faithful one of our Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God too, so that we can serve you too. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.